I don't consider myself a musical snob. I generally stray away from heavy metal or pan flute. But that leaves a pretty wide range of music to choose from. So now there are some country songs that I do have a little problem with. Like, her teeth was stained, but her heart was pure. How can I miss you if you won't go away? I still miss you, baby, but my aim's getting better. Mama, get a hammer. There's a fly on Papa's head. And then there's that top 10 favorite. My wife ran off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him. And then one that I take a personal affront to. You're the reason our kids are so ugly. But there really is a good one from Aaliyah Colgan called Happily Ever After. It's about family and life and love. And I was listening to the song, I was wondering, after what? Happily ever after what? Why can't we be happily ever after during? Why can't we be happy during? Will you pray with me? Creator God, we are grateful for this day, for our brothers and sisters in this room. May our worship be a sweet aroma to you. We ask that in these moments you will open our hearts and minds to what you would have us to do on our journey. We pray these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time because we see it. The days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul's use of the word time in this passage is, in fact, the Greek word for kairos. It can be read, make the most of every kairos, every opportunity, because the days are evil. In this passage, around the verse, Paul lays out a series of opportunities that we should be aware of, because we are in God, and God is in us. We are light. The fruit of the light is found in all that is good, all that is right, all that is pleasing to God. And I believe that as we look for those things that allow us to share our light with others, love, peace, justice, compassion, healing, companionship, then we are about the pleasing of God and the uplifting of each other. Ultimately, it brings us happiness and fulfillment in our lives. So, it's quiz time, and Paul's going to help me out here. So, Paul, we're going to consider what makes you happy. Perhaps it's a Snickers bar. Who would like a Snickers bar and be happy the rest of the day? There might be a few bites taken out of it. We did have confessions from Pastor Paul last week about his love of chocolate. Look at that. Are you happy? Yeah. I thought so. Okay. Now, I have a $5 bill. Who would like a $5 bill? No, you cannot buy Snickers bars with the $5 bill. Eric, are you happy? Oh. Excellent. Now I have some questions, and these questions were already answered in the World Happiness Report. Did you know there was such a report? Did you also know there was a Misery Index? Yes. All right, so let's consider. I'll ask the question, and you can just say yay or nay. How about shopping? Shopping make you happy or not so much? And I'm not talking about the spend and the cash. I'm just talking about strolling through the store or the mall or whatever with somebody that you enjoy spending time with. Anybody? Does that make you happy or not so much? Well, the happiness index says, yeah, it's going to make you happy. How about beauty? Now, I realize you can't get prettier than me. But if you could, would that make you happy or not so much? Everybody? What do you think? It's about a 50-50. What do we say? Oh, not so much. Thank goodness. How about being Amish? It was on the report. Being Amish. It's a simpler kind of life. What do you think? Happy or not so much? And the survey says, yeah, they're happy. How about youth? Man, we hear it all the time, every day in these four walls. Boy, if I was just younger, if I just had a few more years from yesteryear, it'd be great. Is that really going to make you happy? Everybody? What does it say? Yeah, not so much. How about exercise, Paul? Is it going to make you happy? Gets those endorphins going, survey says. Oh, yes, yes. How about living in the United States of America? Happy or not so much? Survey says, yeah, not so much. I didn't make this stuff up. It's on the report. I'm not being political. Okay. Volunteering. How about volunteering? Survey says, absolutely, volunteering. How about intelligence? Ooh, if I was smart as Debbie Stinton, Clint Reynolds, Iona. Not so much. Not so much. How about genetics? Now, there's some people say that genetics, it's just built in. You're going to be happy. Well, what does it say? Yeah, it's kind of right in the middle there. Some people are built, they're just happy all the time. Other people, it's just kind of the way they're built. Yeah. How about others-centered? Others-centered. Happy? Not so much. Absolutely happy. Acquiring wealth. Got all the money I need. Don't have any problems. Of course, it's obvious because there's only one more box. So if your drive is to go make that one more paycheck, it may pay a few bills, but we're looking at happiness. So I want us to think about these principles in light of Kairos, the idea that opportunities are fleeting and that once they're gone, they're gone. How do you approach life? What is your perspective on the living of your days? Are you a dreader? Oh, I've got to get up. I've got to go do that thing. Are you an endurer? Well, it's 10:25. How much longer is this going to go on? Are you an escaper? And I better not see anybody walk out that door. Paul certainly understood the brevity of life. And so he lived his life in a way that would count for something. It seems to me that he embraced it by grabbing a hold of the opportunity to share love, peace, justice, compassion, healing, companionship. And in doing so, many lives were were changed. He demonstrated the gospel by how he lived, working in the church, planting churches, ministering to the needs of others. And Scripture encourages us to do the same. James 4:13-14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a town or such a place and spend a year or so doing business and making money. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will even bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So a woman went to her doctor to find out why she'd been having such severe headaches. The doctor ran some tests and a few hours later called her back and said, I really do have some terrible news. Your condition is terminal. Oh no, the woman cried. How long do I have? 10, 9. She interrupted, days, months, weeks? What are you talking about? 8, 7, 6. It's kind of overwhelming. But the point is that life can be very overwhelming. People in this very room are dealing with very overwhelming news and difficult circumstances. And it is hard for them to see those circumstances as opportunities. And we, who are witnessing our brothers and sisters dealing with those circumstances, how can we see those things that they're going through as our opportunity to reach in and minister healing, love, peace, justice, compassion, and companionship? May it be so. May we seek wisdom from God on how to use our time that has been afforded, not necessarily on what's good, but what is best, and on others rather than on self. I've heard it said more than once, I'm not getting anything out of my church. I'm not getting anything out of this sermon. I'm not getting anything out of this class or this other organization. And of course, we are mindful. We join organizations and take classes because of what is offered. But make no mistake, you have been led to that organization or that church or that class as an opportunity to spread your particular light, your particular language, to share your sacred story. I don't recall anywhere in Scripture that says, go and be sponges. Go and soak it all up. I do not recall that. Have you heard, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish the counts? Paul started poorly, but he finished very strong. 2 Timothy 4:6-7. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a place that God has prepared. Paul discovered the will, the purpose, the journey that God had for him. Paul just put one foot in front of the other. And the results were he shared his light, and people were changed. So I have some questions. that I ask myself from time to time. Am I putting one foot in front of the other on the pathway that God has laid out before me? Am I praying for wisdom and discernment on the best ways to use the time that has been afforded? Am I using these days to minister love, peace, justice, compassion, healing, companionship? Or perhaps another facet of extravagant grace that has yet to be revealed to me? Perhaps you could ask those very same questions. And as we consider the wise living of these days, I'd like to share some wisdom from Cynthia Borgholt, who is the founding director of the Contemplative Society and the Aspen Wisdom School. And perhaps we could use these as the cheat sheet for that quiz. Thus Jesus came and thus he went, giving himself fully into life and death, losing himself, squandering himself. It was not love stored up, but love utterly poured out that opened the gates to the kingdom of heaven. Over and over, Jesus lays this path before me and you. Nothing to be renounced, nothing to be resisted. Everything can be embraced. But the catch is to cling to nothing. You let it go. You go through life like a knife through a done cake, picking up nothing, clinging to nothing, sticking to nothing. And you throw yourself out. You pour yourself out. You give it all back, even life itself. That's the kenotic path, the emptying of one's self, in a nutshell. And it only costs everything. Amen.